blue collar graduates, whether it's from high school or even college, are making more money out the door. Whether you're coming out the door from high school, going straight to be a bottom of the ladder laborer like I did, making 25 bucks an hour, you're still making more than the other 18-year-old kid that is sitting in a classroom in college making $0 an hour, probably going into 5-6-figure debt. And then you look at people coming out of college. This should be, if school is going to continue to focus, especially high school is going to continue to focus on the college path, pushing kids to college, whether it be community, technical, university, they need to push it to avenues that are going to pay off that debt. Because I'm all for going to college if that's what you want, but you need to realize what the outcome is going to be when you leave.
Clue how important blue-collar workers are. If we didn't have awesome blue-collar workers, our lives would cease to exist. This is the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades Podcast. Debunking myths and shining a spotlight on the unsung heroes of our economy. We'll talk about everything from plumbing and electrical work to welding and beyond. Because let's face it, these are the backbone of our infrastructure. We'll talk about the skilled trades gap and uncover the countless benefits of pursuing a path in the trades. And now your host, a passionate advocate for the trades, this is Andrew Brown.
Now it's time to welcome our first guest, Caleb Faust, to the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades. Caleb oversees and manages 6 to 7 crews at a family-run operation. He got started in the trades at a young age building local park playgrounds as a laborer. From there, he went all in on the trades to pursue a full-time career. He's a true supporter of the blue-collar trades, and he mentors younger kids who want to get into it. Caleb, it's good to have you.
I'm super happy to be here, Andrew.
I just want to dive right into the heart of it. They say for every 7 to 8 tradesmen retiring, only one is coming out of trade school. There's over 40% that will be retiring by 2030. That's a huge trades gap. Tell me, how do we get the young kids in high school, you know, 16, 17 years old, interested in the trades?
It's a great topic, and it's something I preach about every single day on LinkedIn and with what I do. I think if you want to get right into the heart of that, I think we should get right into the heart of why there's such a gap. And before we get into how we should get them interested in the trades, I think there's no legacy program inside the trades. And by legacy program, I mean taking your senior leaders, those that you're talking about that are going to retire in 2030, taking those senior leaders and actually building some kind of program, whether it be internal or external, that has a transfer of all that knowledge, wisdom, and years of experience that they have, that transfer of all that to the younger generation that's coming in. Because without that, what are these younger people going to do that are coming into the trades? They're going to be lost. There is not only a trades gap, like you said, there's a trade skill gap. People that are actually skilled in what they're doing and what people are needed to build this country from the ground up. I think it's a hard topic for people to talk about because it's scary. It's scary that there's that many people going to retire and there's only that many people coming into it.
Yeah, definitely, just to echo what you're saying, it is a scary thought. 20%, that's a lot of people that are coming out of the trades, but not coming in. Just to reiterate, what are a couple of things that we can do to get kind of kids involved? What do we tell them of some of the unique things that they can do on a job site or a specific trade that they can get into?
Mm-hmm. It's of what I would say that we can get younger kids interested in. Is the bottom line is blue collar people make more money. It's a fact. Blue collar graduates, whether it's from high school or even college, are making more money out the door. Whether you're coming out the door from high school, going straight to be a bottom of the ladder laborer like I did, making 25 bucks an hour, you're still making more than the other 18-year-old kid that is sitting in a classroom in college making $0 an hour, probably going into 5-6-figure debt. And then you look at people coming out of college. This should be, if school is going to continue to focus, especially high school is going to continue to focus on the college path, pushing kids to college, whether it be community, technical, university, they need to push it to avenues that are going to pay off that debt. Because I'm all for going to college if that's what you want, but you need to realize what the outcome is going to be when you leave. Just some statistics, grads with a blue collar focus are making almost 30% more out of college than someone with a white collar focus. And that's the difference between $38,000 and $61,000 right out of college. Now that $61,000 is going to help pay your student debt down a lot more than $38,000 salary. I think that alone should be enough to interest people in high school. I know it would have interested me if I knew about it in high school. It would have been a completely different ballgame. It would have been the difference between me going to take 6 figures of student loans out and me going straight into the trades, because I could have made not only a lot of money, but I could have set myself up for financial success really early in the game.
Yeah, and you brought up a lot of key points there. The push, even in high school, you're sitting down with a guidance counselor. The push is college. Let's just put it out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they don't really, maybe some do, don't really give an opportunity or a push to the trade. So you go into this four-year school, whether it's a state school or you go out of state, and obviously that's a lot more expensive, and you get caught up. I've done that 20 plus years ago. I was in college, and yet sometimes you're lost for the first few years of what you want to do, and you're trying to figure it out. And after the 4 years, either obviously you come out with some sort of degree. In my case, it was business. It didn't fully set me up to what I was going to do. And then when you take a look and you say, whoa, $80,000, $100,000 that you just paid for an education, and you come out of school and you're not sure what to do, and then you need to find a job. And then some people go into something else completely outside of what your major was, as yeah, opposed to what you said. You can go into the trades, come out of trade school in 2 years, maybe it cost you $20,000-$30,000 versus this $100,000+ mm-hmm. that hangs over your head.
Yeah.
There's a great opportunity to start making money right away, getting into the trades, learning a skill that's going to take you to so many different directions.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And to touch on a little bit of my story, when I went and decided that I was going to go full-time into the trades, it wasn't college or trades. I left college and realized I could do both. It was a giant migraine and a headache, and it sucked, but I did it both. I would work 50, 60 hours a week in the trades as a laborer, and then I'd come home, and my first thing would be sitting on my computer and doing all my online college classes. Because not only was it cheap, I was paying with it in cash with the money I was making from the trades, because I was making more than I expected. So I was paying my college in cash while doing it online, while working full-time in the trades. I know it sounds super crappy, and it was, but it's definitely an avenue for people that want that piece of paper, want that mental framework that I think college gives you. But they also want the experience that comes with working on the field in blue collar. If I didn't go full in when I did, I wouldn't be where I am now, because I would have no experience in my hands.
Yeah, and I definitely echo what you're saying is, and I believe, how many years did you go before you decided to take a different route
when you went to college? I went a whole year and a half. I think I left when I was in the middle of a year.
A year and a half. And where was it? At what point do you remember? Was it like poof, like an epiphany? This is not for me, and I need to go a different direction.
I absolutely love that question. I was hoping it would get brought up. I could answer this question a million different ways, because I feel like it was sign after sign that I wasn't supposed to be there. Well, one of the moments was when I realized I was also a college athlete, so I played baseball. So that was really another thing that drove me to college was the sports. But I remember one night I was sitting in my dorm and I was going over money and I was like, damn, I am broke. I have no money. And everyone else is the same, right? It's yeah, it's that college job in the summer. You work the whole summer and then you go back and you're probably dead broke by the time you return the following spring to start working again. And I'm like, this is such a crappy cycle. I was making so much money this summer building playgrounds, which is a whole nother story. I got contracted by Little Tykes, and me and my buddy just got this job as two laborers going around to the three-state area around Minnesota building Little Tyke playgrounds. Like, how cool is that? But I was thinking in my head, oh, I made so much money this summer. How can I continue making this money? And I'm like, I'm in school 8 to 10 hours a week. I cannot do both. And so I think I went home for Christmas break or something like that. And I worked outside during the cold Minnesota winter building playgrounds. And I'm like talking to these guys on the site, and I was telling them about college, and they're like, why are you in college? And I'm like, why didn't you go to college, right? I was so mind-boggled that it was an option not to go to college. And it was really at that point where I was like, why am I doing this? Yes, I love playing baseball. It's college sports is another experience that you don't get anywhere else. Yes, I love the parties. Yes, I love everything that comes with the parties. Yes, I love the college dorm experience. It's something that is next to none, but is it worth it? And at the end of the day, I said it wasn't worth it. I, at the time, had a great girlfriend who's now my wife, and I was like, this is all I need. I'll leave college. I enrolled onto an online college program, and it was from that point, I always say when I get asked this question, I have no idea how I got here. I just left, and everything fell into place, and now I'm here, and I regret none of it.
It was just meant to be.
It was really meant to be.
It was just meant to be. It's funny how things, and it's a great story we just told, but like how all these things fell into place to get you where you want to be. It's interesting to hear people's stories of how they went a completely different direction then, and they circled back. They want to do something else. It's amazing to hear that. And it sounds like you found what you want to do. And young people are just floundering around in their 20s, even into their 30s, until they figure out what they want. And it sounds like you've already identified and found what you love.
I absolutely would say so. Yeah, it comes with having a supportive circle around you. I definitely had to, along with that story, I definitely had to really evaluate the people I was spending time with, the people that I was surrounding myself with, because now they had completely different goals than me. We weren't just some college kids trying to make it the next 4 years, and then we'll figure it out. Now I'm in a different spot where I'm barely 22 years old, 21 years old. I'm like to say, I already got it figured out. I know what I like to do. I love what I do. I know how I can climb the ladder, and I'm doing it every day. So it takes some adjusting. And that's really something that I preach on LinkedIn is it's really about who you surround yourself with, especially when you're young. I can surround myself with people like you all day long, but at the end of the day, I need to surround myself with people that are also my age, my genre, that have the same mindset. And it's not easy to find.
No, it is hard to find. And it leads me into my next question about how important is it to have a mentor or someone who has gone this path, who is a handful of years ahead of you? How important it is to hook up with somebody like that?
It's very important. It's very important. I was one of those people that when my new friend or new person that I met, and we'll use LinkedIn as an example, when I started finding other people my age on LinkedIn, they started telling me about my mentor said this and that. And I'm like, really meet with a mentor? Really? What do they know that you can't find out on YouTube? I was so against, I don't know what it was about it. I was so against mentorship. And I just realized that it was stupid to have that mentality, because if I didn't have the people that I have in my life now as mentors, I think I'd be completely lost. And that's not to say that somebody else could go and be super successful without a mentor. But you can't. Because you look at, I'm going to go off a little tangent. I hope that's okay.
Go for it.
But you look at YouTube and how many people are super successful on YouTube and are making millions. And just by making, I don't know if you know who Mr. Beast is, but he's got the largest YouTube channel. And he preaches all the time. He'll go on podcasts and tell everybody that it's not about becoming successful on your own. It's about becoming successful with everyone around you. And that way everyone's coming up and everyone's becoming successful. And he said he would be nowhere without the mentors he had in his life. He said he's had over 100 mentors that have told them all different things. And he's used all that knowledge to combine it into the empire he's built today, right? Who knew that a YouTuber could use his mentors as resources and build a billion-dollar empire? So he's probably the other one I credit to getting a mentor and actually not only getting a mentor, because a lot of young people do it, but using the resources that they provide and actually applying what they tell me to do. I had a mentor for quite some time and I was like, oh, this has been an awesome call. Thank you so much. We'll talk next week. And it was out the ear, one in the one ear, out the other. So to really wrap up my tangent that I went on, mentorship is important. If you're young, the younger you get a mentor, the better the outcome will be for you. But I think it's not just one-sided. You're not only the one benefiting in a mentorship. The mentor is benefiting hugely, because if you really apply what he or she's telling you, you're going to be hugely successful. Or actually, I should say, you should help in a big part in that mentor's success, if that made any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I think that it's extremely important to be with someone who's been there and done that. There's, I would say, there's a lot and there's a lot you don't know. And that's where a mentor comes in, a place that is years ahead and is in, let's say, the trade that you're in or business that you're in. You need that, because it might save you 5-6 years of you trying to figure it out yourself. And it's honorable trying to figure it out yourself, but you can cut that in half by speaking to that person. They've already tripped up and fell in the mud. They can tell you things, the right path and the wrong path to go. So I am a big believer of mentorship, and I have a couple of mentors, and I wish I had mentors actually into my 20s. And I didn't have that. And it took a long time, not into my 40s, till I got that, where it redirected some things. But I am a big believer of mentorship and looking at someone who's been there and done that, who can direct you into the right place. So you, what you said, 100% I'm behind.
Yeah, I'm glad that it made sense.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of my ADD will just hyper focus on something else. And now we're talking about, wow, the Vikings game last Sunday was great, Andrew. And I'm forever grateful for my tangents, because I feel like I wrap them up pretty well.
That's great, man. Look, tell your story. It's important. It's important because
absolutely.
Yes, it does. So let's say that companies are trying to attract younger talent out there, construction companies. What are kids looking for in their teen years, or even in their 20s or mid-20s? What are kids looking for in a company to work for?
I would say there's two parts to this question. Because in high school, I had no idea what I was looking for, let alone did I know what I wanted in a company. I think if you're trying as a blue-collar company to appeal to younger people, meaning high school, very post-graduation high school, you should be really focusing on how to appeal them with, one, money, and two, the opportunity to grow your career without having to go to college. If you're a company looking to appeal college students, that's where we want to get more into what they're looking for in a company, what they're looking for in a culture, what they're looking for in a corporate structure. It's weird because it, just what we just talked about with mentorship, a lot of college students are looking for companies that are willing to train and alongside that mentor. Because when you're a graduating college student, what experience do you have other than summer jobs and internships? Probably next to none. Unless you took that couple years after college and you started at the bottom of the ladder. I have had a few friends to do that have done that, and I am not a big proponent for that. I do not like seeing people take X amount of years after they graduated with a construction management degree and they start as a laborer at the bottom because they feel they need to get the experience before they apply for those positions. That's complete BS. I don't think that's something you need to worry about doing. It's all about finding a company that is willing to train you, but you have to have the right attitude. If I'm preaching to companies, I would preach to them and say, when you're appealing to college students, postgraduate, you should be offering not only competitive pay because of the labor shortage, everyone's hiring. So if you're not going to pay competitively, they can go next door and get twice the salary. It's just bottom line. Opportunity. You need to be offering an opportunity that is appealing to young people. And I say young people because there's different stages of opportunity, right? I would say the older generation, if they're looking for opportunity in a company, it's going to be more like 401k match, stuff like that, right? Setting yourself up for retirement. Not that shouldn't be a concern of yours when you're young. It just, I don't think it is for postgraduates. It wasn't for me, and it's not for many of the peers I know that are graduating college. The way you need to appeal to them with opportunity would be structure. Have a proper ladder. And so that the ladder isn't hard for them to find, but that they can see it when you're interviewing them. Let it be known, this is how you can climb our ladder. Whether you continue to climb our ladder, whether you climb it to this point and then go spread your own wings, go do your own thing, or go start at this company or that company. There needs to be growth opportunity regardlessly if they stay there their whole career or they leave in 2 years. Because the odds are they're going to leave in 2 years. So what are you going to do for them in that 2 years to set them up for success? That's what I think a lot of postgraduates are going to be looking for. I'm trying to gather my thoughts on what else companies can be doing to provide for college students other than money, opportunity, obviously mentorship. I don't want to touch on that any more than we already did. And training. I just counted it this morning before this call because I knew the question would come up. I've had 5 people that are postgraduates in the last year or 2 years come into my LinkedIn DMs in the last 3 days saying that they're having trouble finding a job in the construction management and blue collar management field because people or companies aren't willing to train. They're looking for a full-fledged, already packaged person, ready to go, ready to have no training, really. If we're being completely honest, they're ready to throw them in a role, give them maybe 2 days with a person that currently works there, and then they're off on their own. That's not the way you're going to find quality young professionals. The way you're going to find them is find them via attitude, intern experience, and really the way they have a business or entrepreneurial spirit, and then train them into what you want them, because you can't find a better employee than your own. And the way you can have your own employee is create them out of a postgraduate because they're fresh. They have a clean slate. That would probably be my 4 points to companies, especially today, that are looking to appeal to either postgraduates or post-high school people.
Yeah, and you hit on a few key points there. The money is always going to be an attraction, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe it could be one or two for people, but some people also believe, and you may agree or disagree, is the vision, the mission of the company, and do they really get behind through training and building you up through the ranks or the ladder to get you where you want to go? And like you said, having a mentor or someone to follow the steps to get to where they want to go. Educational stipends, is that provided through the company? But how important is it, the pay versus what the company stands for, and then the opportunity? So if the company offered training, if the company offered a strong vision, but the money wasn't there until a few years, would you still be open to take that route and give it a few years instead of trying to look for that one job that gives you the most amount of money versus opportunity?
Sure.
In the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think culture goes so far, especially these days. This younger generation wants to make a difference in what they do. And they want to make a difference every day they're at work, which is a huge feat for a lot of companies, because there's really no way that they can provide that much value in order for somebody to feel like they made a serious difference in the community every day they're at work. But that is a big factor for this younger generation. So I would say culture plays a huge role. I don't know how much of a role it plays when compared to money. I would say it depends on your candidate. Your candidate is six figures in debt. Their student loan payments are about to start in 6 months postgraduate. Will they go for more culture rather than money? It's hard to say. I think culture is huge. And I think to the normal person, especially, I mean, to me, I'm going to pick culture over $20,000 more a year. I've done it already a few times. I've been offered other jobs with a lot more money, and that was their selling point. We can provide you more money. We can provide you a 4-day work week. We can provide you remote work, blah, 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 blah. All these super great perks. And the money's super great, but the company culture is down the crapper. And to your point, I have said no to every single one of those offers because it's like, work wouldn't really be fun anymore. I wouldn't really enjoy it. And to the vision aspect of it, I think it goes hand in hand with these younger people, my generation, wanting to make a difference in the world and in their workplace. And so a company with a strong mission statement, a strong, this is how we help people, and this is how you're going to help us do it, I think that's really powerful in the appealing process of getting candidates. But I still think it all depends on the candidate's persona or personal beliefs on whether or not, or even how big that pay difference is, whether or not they say yes to the culture and vision just because they like it rather than they need the money. So I would agree to disagree. I think it all depends.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you said that you turned down more money and in your path. And some people do believe in the core values. So companies stand for something, and it's not just BS. Some companies really have our core values, and they want like-minded people to follow through and have those values in the company to help them build the company. So to your point, yes, some of it is money driven, but money can only drive you so far, where if the vision is off, the core values are not there, and you're just not happy who you're working with, I would say, even if I was that position, I might not be. Money is the only thing that's driving me, but at some point I'll burn out and maybe move on. In the sense of core values and a strong mission statement, it would be a seller for me. That's just my take on it.
But I completely agree.
Yeah. Everybody's different. So what is a path to success? What can you say, or if you're looking 10 years, 20 years down the road, is success in the trade starting your own business? Is it becoming a foreman or superintendent? What does it look like for somebody who, like you said, is coming out of school and saying, yeah, you know what? I could be a tradesman. So what? So I'm going to be a tradesman. What other options are out there for them in the future?
It's a great question. I talked about this on, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Elevation Construction podcast with Jason Schroeder, I believe. He writes a lot of amazing books on the path that we're talking about from foreman to superintendents to business owners. And we talked a lot about how there's endless possibilities. To all of your points, I think somebody can make a successful career for themselves, whether they, one, become a foreman and stay a foreman and just climb the pay ladder like that, whether they become a foreman, then they become a superintendent, then they become a senior lead at the company. There's endless possibilities. The starting your own company thing is something that is completely different, because if I was hiring and someone told me that they always dreamed of starting their own company, I would stop in the my tracks and say that's a great hire, because people with an entrepreneurship spirit usually are very work-driven and are very successful in what they do, whether they're doing it for a company or they're doing it for themselves. If we were to set the stage for somebody coming out of post-college, like you said, and they're trying to determine what they can do in the trades to make a successful financial future for themselves, I definitely don't think they need to start at the bottom. If I'm starting fresh as a postgraduate college, my first goal would land a leadership position in a company, like a foreman position or a site supervisor or something like that, and get a few years experience there. Work on your resume experience, work on all the stuff that you can master in that 2 to 3 years. And then I would move to trying to land a superintendent position, even a senior construction management position. Anything like that would be great if you still want to get that trades experience on site and then really master that and all those skills that come with it, and make your way into a management position in the office. It sounds cliche to say, but the bigger paycheck is usually where the bigger office is, if that makes sense. And whether that be a job trailer, which some construction managers and job trailers are making upwards of $300,000, bigger office, bigger paycheck, and senior estimators and project leads that are sitting in the office and come out to a job site maybe twice a month, they very well may be the people with the clipboard that you see coming onto your job site. And you're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And you freak out. I've been there before. But they're making a lot of money, and it's because they started on a job site and they mastered those skills. They mastered the trades that come along with that. And then they took that experience and brought it to the office. And now they are estimating projects and bidding projects. And I don't think any good estimator at a construction company has never been on a job site. They've had to been on the job site, worked on a job for an extensive period of time to know the ins and outs, the costs of these jobs to be a proficient estimator or project bidder. I would love to sidetrack into the second option that I'm preaching quite a bit to postgraduates. right out of college is a construction manager position. A lot of construction managers can be brought on with little to no experience. And that's because it's a very trainable position, right? You're managing, but you're also doing a lot of paperwork. And I think it's a very trainable position. I think the average starting salary of a postgraduate construction manager last year was $55,000. It's not a lot, but it's not a little. And that's a very scalable position. You're doing it backwards, though, where you'll master your skills on the books, you'll master your skills in the office, and then you'll need to make your way onto a job site here and there and master those skills. Because without both, I don't think you can be proficient in your career in blue collar, whether that be being a superintendent, whether that being the CEO of a construction company, whether that being an entrepreneur and starting your own construction company. You can't do any of that unless you take that time out of college or out of trade school to first master trade skills and then master business skills. That would be my advice. Master both skills.
And that's well said. For the people that the audience is listening, you just said 300K, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a huge number.
That's a huge number because one of my topics was on LinkedIn. Can you make 100K in the trades?
Oh,
you just said 300.
If you're not making $100,000, if you're not making $100,000 in your first 3 years in the trades, you're probably doing something wrong. And I'm going to stick by that statement. If you're not making $100,000 in the trades within your first 3 years, you got to be doing something wrong. Because I even know laborers on pipeline crews that are making $40, $50 an hour as a laborer on a pipeline crew. Now, if you do the math, they're working year round, that equates to over $100,000 in their pocket. And they're just a laborer. So if you move up to a foreman position or you started as a foreman position out of college, you should be making good money. I have quite a few friends that out of college, they got a foreman position and they're making $85,000, $90,000 and they're still complaining. And I'm like, this is how I usually am when they complain about it, speechless. Because I'm like, if other people out of college not going into construction understood that these guys were making $85,000 to $90,000 out of college and are complaining, that's crazy. And I think that's something that colleges need to be a lot more transparent about, because the way you reacted to my $300,000, the same reaction would come of students that heard that you could make $85,000 the first year out of college. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And look, in order to get to a foreman or get to a business owner, you have to go through, just to reiterate what you said, you have to go through that. You have to walk in those shoes, right? You can't just go into that role and not have done being on the job site and done the different jobs related and understand, have a good understanding of the different roles and jobs that you have to play before you move into like upper management or in the office. So just to echo your point, yes, you need to do that for the first handful of years to get the experience to get to that level. But what you just said is that your path can be very successful in the trades. And I want to reiterate that for the people that say, blue collar trades, you're working with your hands. Why would you want to do that? And that's an argument that I always have of the white collar versus blue collar, that you can have a successful career in blue collar trades. And there's, for all the amount of jobs that are unfulfilled, you have for the next handful of years, and with the skilled trades gap and 40% of people retiring by 2030, you have a tremendous opportunity to build your skill set and work your way up the ladder.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you said it perfectly. You have to walk in the footsteps of a tradesman before you can become a tradesman business owner. It's very uncommon to run into a successful construction business. And not have the owners tell you that they weren't doing X for 20 years before they decided to start this. Or on the flip side of things, it's a family business where the grandparents started it and they worked in the field for 20 years. And then the parents worked in the field for 20 years and they took over the company. The kids did the same thing and it's this repetitive process. Yes, it's generational wealth and it's a family company, but you can still see that these new owners, these generational owners, are still working their ass off for how many years before they can step into a management role and confidently lead the team.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And there is a path to success here, just to reiterate the question that I had asked. And you would answer it 100% that there is a path to success here. And let's not really demonize the blue-collar trades as some people do, that there is a great path and a lucrative path going through it. So if you were talking to someone who's 17, 18, let's say you're standing in front of them and they're thinking about trade school versus college. And I know we touched upon this a little bit. What advice would you give them that they can come away and they can say, the trades make sense, as opposed to me going through 4 years of trying to find myself and picking up a lot of debt? Right. And what would you tell them?
I would tell them to, one, if your parents are telling you to go to college and figure it out later, I would tell them, one, don't listen to your parents. And two, I would probably tell them to follow their heart, because there's two sides to it. The 17, 18-year-old kid will either want to or be okay with climbing the ladder straight out of high school, going into the trades, being a laborer, and climbing that ladder over the next 10 years. Or kid B, at 17, 18, won't be okay with waiting 10 years to get into a management position, right? I'm a big proponent for college, and that sounds weird because you go in a lot of debt, but it's not the education that I'm a big proponent for in college. It's the mental and the business framework that you get from it. I think that's what propels people into blue-collar management quicker, right? I think you can go straight out of high school, and work your butt off for the next 10 years and climb the ladder that way. Or you can go to college, preferably online, preferably night school, whatever you can do to do both would be my advice to them. Do both, go to college, get a construction blue-collar focused degree, and post-college, come out making close to six figures, if not six figures. And you not only just fast-paced yourself into a successful career, but you now have a job that can pay off that student loans quicker than your neighbor, if that makes sense. So if I had two kids in front of me, I'd probably ask them if they want to go to college. And if they said yes, then I'd really reiterate to them the benefits of going to college for a construction focused degree. And that doesn't mean it's limited to men. I know super, super successful women in construction, and they've known they wanted to do construction since they were 10 years old because they most likely had a dad who did construction. And the dad got super lucky and had all girls. And it happens, but daddy's girl really did take after him. And I have one in mind that now runs her own construction company with her husband, and it's flourished. And everyone told her she was crazy in college because she was a woman and because she was going into construction. There's no money in construction, a lot of them said. A lot of them told me there's no money in construction. And a lot of them will tell those two high schoolers that you are in question, there's no money in construction. And so it will be very hard to persuade them to go into construction right away, I think. And so that's why I'm a big proponent of college. It's hard to persuade these high schoolers that have been hammered in that they have to go to college to jump into the trades right away out of high school. Because now if they do that, they're making a crap load of money, which is great, but there needs to be some kind of structure behind that. Because I've seen a lot of people go straight into the trades out of high school and not progress. Now they're at the same place as they were at 18 that they're at 28 because they looked back and they're like, oh my gosh, what did I do with all that money? So to recap, I have two high schoolers. I would tell them both to either go to college and get a construction degree or go straight into construction and create some kind of financial plan. Sit down with someone that's going to really give you financial literacy because you're about to make a lot of money that you do not know what to do with. There may be a couple high schoolers that do know what to do with that money and properly use the money to further their career in construction, or they're going to blow it and it will be, the crap will hit the fan. If you're going to go the trade school route, if you're going to go straight into the trades post high school, I would highly suggest you seek out some kind of financial literacy advice and have some structure. That would be my advice to the two options.
You said it. And just again, echo what you said. There's just tremendous options or to get into the trades. And you laid out a couple of paths, which is great for people who are listening that are in this similar situation. And you are wise beyond your years, just to let you know. And that's not to prop you up. You're wise beyond your years. And it's good that you're helping younger kids see that, even at a younger age that you're in, and you found what you love to do. A lot of people can't say that. A lot of people don't find themselves for years and years, and they're in their mid-30s, and you found what you love to do, and you're passionate, and I could see it. And I loved speaking to you on this podcast on your unique perspective on the trades, and that you're sharing that it's a great option for the future. So wanted to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Thank you to our listeners, where our mission is to flip the script on the blue collar trades and make them cool once again. We'll see you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the Lost Art of the Skilled Trades podcast. Sure, nothing wrong with going to college, but there's just as much honor and need for people to be blue collar workers that are the very backbone of our infrastructure. Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, follow Andrew Brown on LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, and hit the website at www.andrewbrowntrades.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.